Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, we love you and we recognize there is no Father like you. We just thank you for loving us and we thank you for breaking into the lives of these friends that we've just seen a glimpse of their story, and that we know is greatly reduced, and how we would love to sit down with each one and hear the story of your greatness, your creativity, your persevering love into each heart. Father, I pray as there might be one or more gathered here who would say, you know, that's me. I've felt God stirring my heart. And maybe I need to make a step. Lord, I pray that you wouldn't relent, that you wouldn't give up, that you'd keep doing what only you can do in each of our hearts. Thank you that you're unchanging and that you love us more than we can imagine. Thanks for the celebration of that and how it brings joy to our hearts, Lord. And we pray you to have your way with each of us. In Jesus' name, amen. Isn't it exciting to see just evidence of God's work anew in each life? Can we praise God for what he's doing? Today is our short-term mission Sunday. So one time a year, we just kind of hit the pause button and we just take a look. We just go into celebration mode. We want to praise God for what he has done through the lives of Sunrise people all around the world. And the math on this is really pretty simple, and it comes from the Bible. So one of the basic things is in the New Testament is that God the Father sent God the Son to earth. We celebrate that at Christmas, and if you read the Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, you're going to just come across them. It's just all over the place that God the Father sent God the Son to earth. And then if you keep reading, you're going to go into the book of Acts, and you're going to read chapter 2, and you're going to hear about Pentecost. What that is God the Father and God the Son sent God the Spirit. And the Spirit of God came on people and indwells people and redeems people. It's how we can pray. And if you keep reading in the New Testament, you're going to come to a selection of letters written by Paul and Peter and John and many others. And what that's all about is that God the Father and God the Son and God the Spirit sent the church. The church, that's you and me. So the God we worship is a missionary God. The God we worship is a God who sends, who sent his only Son, who sent the Spirit, who sends the church, which is us. So friends, we do not believe that one or two rare few are called to serve God in mission around the world. In fact, that happens, and we will commission and pray for and support financially people, but we actually believe that every single believer in Jesus Christ, that the whole church is called to join God on his mission because God is a missionary God. We don't think that God's sitting on a lazy boy in heaven. We believe that God is a good, good Father, and that he is at work in this world to win his family back, one by one, by two, by two, by family. If you have your Bible with you, and I hope you do, would you grab it and just go to John chapter 17 and verses 20 to 23. We're in John chapter 17 and verses 20 to 23. And we're going to unpack a prayer of Jesus Christ that gives us a clue to how this mission of God is designed to unfold. This chapter 17 is sometimes called Jesus' High Priestly Prayer. And it has a singular point. Its singular point is be one. Jesus is praying for his disciples. And then he says, I pray also for those who will believe in me through their message. He prayed for you and me. Jesus, so many years ago, so many miles away, prayed for believers in 2016 in Fair Oaks, California. And I want you to not miss something. He assumes the success of his first disciples. Jesus discipled a few people, and he would commission them to disciple still others. And he is praying for people way on down the line. He assumed that they would be effective. He assumed that discipleship would work. And it did. The reason we're here today isn't because of a hit song or a celebrity pastor or a wonderful style or a certain building. We are here because the Spirit of God and the Word of God work in people to make disciples. in any culture and in any time. He prays that all of them may be one. Friends, from the vantage point of heaven, there is one church. Did you know? We might be gathered today at First Baptist or First Presbyterian or First Assembly. Do you know when you get to heaven, they're not going to ask you if you attended church at Sunrise? Just get over it, you know. From the vantage point of heaven, they're just not going to care. They might ask you, you might be asked, you know, were you faithful? You're going to be asked, what did you do with the gifts I gave you? That for sure. Today there are Orthodox churches and there are Roman Catholic churches and there are Protestant churches. Even just within our stream, Protestantism, there are tens of thousands of denominations. So we've got a little work to do yet on the unity thing. That's why I met with Craig Sweeney, my friend, Bayside Church of Citrus Heights, man of God, leading a great church of God. Our neighbors 2.5 miles away from where we're sitting. That's why this week I'm meeting with Kirk Bottomley, senior pastor at Fair Oaks Presbyterian Church, 2 miles away, that church, from where we're sitting today. Our neighbors, and you connect with other believers at your school and at your workplace and through BSF. Love their socks off. Pray for them. Bless them. My friend, we're going to start today by talking about unity at Sunrise. So maybe you're newer to Sunrise. Maybe you've just kind of trickled into Sunrise the last couple, 3-4 years, and maybe you've run into someone who's been at Sunrise for 30 years, and maybe the thought has crossed your mind, how will I ever fit in? How will I ever penetrate this social environment if there are people that have raised their families together and gone through all these issues in marriage? They've been here 30 years, they all know each other, I'm sort of new. My friend, this message is for you, because we need one another. Or maybe you're a veteran Sunriser and you've been here 30 or 35 years and yet you say, hey, Sunrise is kind of changing and there's all these new people on staff. And maybe there was a time in which you had a personal relationship with every single member of the pastoral staff. And that's a wonderful thing. And maybe you would say, but you know, people have come in the last, you know, 3-4 years and man, it's just hard to kind of keep up. This message is for you. Our unity is important and not just to us. Jesus says, I've given them the glory that you already gave me. That's one of the reasons we can be unified. Jesus did something for us, for every believer in Jesus Christ. Romans 8:30 says, those he predestined, he also called. And those he called, he also justified. And those he justified, he also glorified. Something has happened to us. We've been made more than we naturally are. And this can lead to our unity. Now, friends, there's an important distinction we've got to just make very obvious. So would you hold out 2 fingers just like this morning? I want to be very clear that unity is not uniformity. Are you following me? So unity is an invisible, internal heart issue that comes from the Spirit of God. We are unified. We have unity internally because of the Spirit of God in us. Uniformity, my friends, is an ill-fated human effort at external conformity. It would say, hey, we all ought to look alike or dress alike or talk alike or sing alike or whatever it is. And you know, there's something really crazy about churches. There's sometimes a real emphasis on uniformity so that you might feel that you can come to church, but you can't really be yourself. Friends, unity, biblical unity, is actually something that comes from God that he has established that shows up inside our lives. We can look and act and be quite different depending on who we are, where we're coming from in life, and still be unified. Did you know that Jesus Christ never prayed that we'd be uniform? He couldn't. He's the one who actually gave us different spiritual gifts. He's the one who actually made us different. There's a weird thing about churches. We tend to get this wrong all the time. My friend, if you're a Christian, you don't have to be like anybody else. We have unity in diversity. Unity in diversity is going to stretch us, but it's going to bless us. I want to show you a brief video. You're going to see a pianist playing Beethoven's Moonlight Sonata on a regular piano with 88 unique keys. Each key has its own tone. That's right. It's that good. It really is. Then he's going to pivot and he's going to play a modified piano in which each and every key is middle C. And I'm going to ask you, which one of those pianos represents the church as God wants it to be. Take a look at the screens. That's the point. Be together, not the same. You know, you're not called to be like the person to your left and the person to your right. There's something that goes on for Christians. We look at the guy next to us. We look at the guy on the platform. We look at the guy on the book cover or whatever it is. We think, that's what I got to be like. Friend, you got to be like you, with Jesus Christ on the inside, with his word in your mind, redeeming you and changing you. Friends, that might take a step of faith for each one of us, but that's what the church is designed to be. The message of the New Testament is that each person is actually different, created to be different, gifted, in fact, to be different, different roles, different ministries, different strengths, and that together we need one another, and together we're being guided and played by a master who's looking for something out of us together that won't happen alone. Well, it's easy to talk about unity, but how do you actually kind of pull that off? The scriptures give us some great guidelines. Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 3 says, make every effort to keep the unity of the Spirit through the bond of peace. You'll notice that we don't create unity. We are unified. We're given unity. Unity is something that's already been established for the people of God by Jesus Christ. It's actually a gift to us. But we can keep it. How do you actually keep this precious unity when we know we're all so different? Well, verse 2, just above, gives us some great places to start. Be completely humble. Winston Churchill had a political rival. His name was Clement Attlee. Churchill was fond of saying that Attlee was a modest man who had much to be modest about. You know, that's true for all of us. We all have much to be modest about, especially compared to the majesty, the greatness of God. I have much to be humble about, and so do you. Humility goes a long way towards helping us in our diversity to be unified. And gentle, are you tender with people? Are you gentle with people? Do you know that all people are hurt? Everyone you meet in this building, everyone you meet at school and in work, everyone you see when you're walking your dog has some hurts. Can you be gentle? Can you be tender? Can you be patient? When we are presumptuous or impatient, thinking we need to be served, we need to see ourselves in the light of God's majesty and find patience. We can bear with one another in love. You know, no one's perfect. No one's arrived. You're going to have to bear with everyone else in this church. And in any church, there's no church where people don't have to bear with other people in love. That, in fact, is the work of the church. That's something we do. We'll spend time bearing with one another in love. That's part of what it means to be a Christian, to be a part of a church. Friends, be one. Unity. It's possible because God is one. Be one because God is one. Jesus prayed, Father, just as you are in me and I am in you, here's the hope. Our unity doesn't start with us, it starts with God. Unity is in diversity is what God is. The basis for our unity are the relationships within the Godhead, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Three persons, one essence, perfect unity. Now, in your personal experience, what happens when you gather a bunch of really powerful people? In your experience, what happens when you gather a bunch of really intelligent people? In your experience, what happens when you gather a group of really wealthy people? Do they get along? Rarely. People tend to want their own way. Did you know that the most powerful people, the most intelligent people, the very wealthiest people in the universe are perfectly unified? It's the Father and the Son and the Spirit. They love each other. They prefer each other. They serve each other. They respect each other. They point to one another, just like the 50 some odd one another's in the New Testament. They actually do that. And they actually want unity in the earthly body that's designed to reflect them. Buildings and even books don't reflect the nature of God quite like the people of God can. Jesus prayed for this, that we may be one as he and the Father are one. You know, it's popular today to lament the fact that Jesus' high priestly prayer for unity has gone so unfulfilled. I get that. But in another sense, it has been answered. In Jesus, in Christ, our deepest divisions have been undone. There's no longer Jew or Gentile separated. There are no longer slaves and free separated. There's no longer male and female separated and viewed on different planes. Galatians 3:28 says all are one in Christ. Friends, it wasn't always that way. And it is that way only in the church. There's no human gap created by culture or tradition that cannot be bridged by Jesus. Jesus prayed, I in them and you in me, so that they may be brought to complete unity. Friends, we talk about this because as good Americans, we tend to start on the individualistic side of this equation. We tend to start out with me, myself, and I. We tend to start out with what's my responsibility? What can I give? What can I get? Our unit of analysis is me. You deserve a break today. I did it my way. Those are the national anthems in the United States of America. And we tend to think, unity, yeah, I'm down for unity. It's good. It's nice to have. Like the cherry on the sundae. Nice to have. If you got that, fine. But that's not the view of the New Testament. That's not the prayer of Jesus. In fact, that's not even quite what we need. We tend to think that unity is just for people who cannot make it on their own. Friends, the reality, no one makes it very far on their own. Malcolm Gladwell is the author of a book called Outliers. He tells the strange story of a man named Christopher Langan. Langan is a genius. He has an IQ of 195. For perspective, Einstein had an IQ of about 150. In high school, Langan could review a foreign language textbook in a few minutes and ace the test. Langan, as a young man, took the SAT, and during it, he took a nap and got a perfect score. Langan is not a normal person. To Gladwell, however, Langan has failed to use his exceptional gifts in ways that are not totally his responsibility. Langan, they both agree, developed a double life. By his mid-40s, Langan had been a construction worker, a cowboy, a Forest Service ranger, a farmhand, and for over 20 years, wait for it, a bouncer. At the same time, he produced original research in mathematics, artificial intelligence, physics, and cosmology, working largely and sadly alone. Gladwell's commentary on Langan's life is that Langan never had a community to help him capitalize on his enormous gifts. Gladwell summarizes Langan's life this way. Langan had to make his way alone. And no one, not rock stars, not professional athletes, not software billionaires, not even a genius, can make it on his own. Friends, you won't make it on your own, and I won't make it on our own. We need one another. We're not designed to make it on our own. Jesus prayed that we wouldn't have to make it on our own. One of the things I love about Sunrise is that so many of the men here already get this. And I got to have a front row seat last weekend. 75 Sunrise men going through the men's retreat. And what an awesome time that was. You might see these red bands, Mission Possible. We've got a prayer assignment from Pastor Greg for about a month. One guy said, I love this. At the men's retreat, it doesn't matter how you look, and it doesn't matter how you smell. This is perfect for me. There was some of that. But I saw guys getting humble and transparent about their desire for greater sexual integrity. I saw guys getting patient and vulnerable and transparent, talking about their own deep pain in life. It was awesome for me personally. I got to go with our middle son, Jonah, and my dad, three generations of Zan boys, praying together, driving together, listening to guys snore together with some of that, worshiping Jesus together. Friends, that doesn't happen every day. 16 Sunrise men went with their fathers. I want you to let that sink in. Think about what that could mean. And friends, events are not the point. What we're aiming for here, as Pastor Greg does such a great job leading us, is a discipleship culture. Relationships are the point. So if you are a Sunrise man, I have an invitation for you. As your pastor, I am asking you to save this date, April 21 to 23 of 2017, to decide now to go or to pray for men who will go. I am asking you to start now saving your money. It might cost $175, something like that. I am asking you to start now to make arrangements to get time off of work. I am asking you to start now to work it through the busy family life that you come through with your wife to say, hey, this is 48 hours or so. I'm asking you to start now. Do you have a late teenage son? Or a son who's older, a young adult or adult son? I am asking you to draw near to him intentionally in these coming months with the hopes of both of you ending up at the men's retreat. Do you have a father? I am asking you to start now, to use this time, this next year, to draw near to him in the hopes that you would end up at the men's retreat together. I am asking you to start now in drawing near to the men in this church to say, hey, what'd you guys talk about? What's going on? How can I step in to what's happening in this discipleship culture at Sunrise Community Church? Because here's the skinny. Your wife is not your discipleship accountability partner. Proverbs 27:17 says, as iron sharpens iron, so one man sharpens another. Your lovely wife is fantastic. This isn't about her. You need some men in your life. Friends, there are things that God desires to do in your life that he will only do in your life through the life of another man. You need some godly men in your life. As your pastor, I'm asking you to start now. And you'll be glad you did. Friends, our unity matters to more than just us. Our unity matters because it's one of the ways that the world will know God. Jesus says, then. As in, if then. If you, in fact, have a practical, demonstrable unity reflecting the way that you are gloriously unified in Christ, if, then, the world will know that you have sent me and have loved them even as you have loved me. Friends, our unity matters to more than just us. This isn't just so we can have some warm fuzzies. This is so that the world will know God. Friends, we're called not just to preach the gospel. We are called to model the effects of the gospel in a defeated, declining, decadent culture, to not just put out propositional truth, chapter and verse, but to put out blood and soul and sweat in living community that the world can see and taste and touch and test in our very lives. Here's the math. Faith in Christ leads to unity with other believers, which leads still others to new faith in Christ. Let me tell you what it isn't. It isn't the Pro Bowl. You ever watch the NFL Pro Bowl? You got the AFC versus the NFC, and all the teams on one side, everybody on one team, they wear the same jerseys. The AFC might wear blue, the NFC might wear white. But do you notice everybody wears their own helmet? And the environment of the Pro Bowl is kind of sunny and cute. I mean, they don't run that fast. They don't hit that hard. They're only together to play for this one day. And truth be told, they don't really belong to each other. They don't really belong to the jersey they're wearing. They belong to the team whose helmet they're wearing. That's where their loyalties truly lie. Friends, this is your team for life, for better and for worse, to the doorstep of heaven. In the body of Christ, there is no other team than the church. We all wear the same jersey, and we all got to wear the same helmet. We belong to one another. This is your team. So friend, are you all in? If you're going to get everything out of the church, you got to put all of your relationship into the church, into the people that you're right around. You can start with Ephesians 4, 2, and 3, and humility and gentleness and patience and bearing with one another in love, because we belong to one another. God designed it that way. Our being one because God is one is how the world will know the one true God. And friends, I am so excited because this is exactly what's been happening in this last year through Sunrise and our short-term ministry teams. So if you've been a part of one of those teams, maybe you've prayed for someone on a team, maybe you gave generously financially so that someone could go on a short-term mission team, maybe you got up at some terrible hour and you drove to a distant airport to pick them up so after they'd been awake for 36 hours and flying through the night, they would have a safe way to actually come home. Maybe you participated in a fundraiser. I just want to affirm you. I just want to thank you. You are doing the work of the church. And friends, it enables us to celebrate today that in the last year, God has sent Sunrise folks to the Philippines. John and Lisa Knapp led 11 other Sunrisers to provide Christmas gifts to hundreds of children in Greater Manila through 5 Christmas parties. Among the places they ministered would include the Manila's Children's Hospital Oncology, where children with cancer in Manila ministered alongside our own Jason Chappelle, our long-term missionary to the Philippines. We celebrate that God led Don Fueling to lead a team to transport print and digital Bibles into remote areas of restricted countries. They also trained underground church leaders who thanked them with hugs and tears. And they came home inspired by the faith of believers in these restricted access countries and their desire to have their neighbors come to Christ. We celebrate that Don Fueling and Don Wright taught over 100 evangelists and pastors who in turn are reaching into other parts of India and Nepal and China and Vietnam. We celebrate that Amber Rochester and her team served the Karen people in northwest Thailand, sharing Bible lessons in public schools. They led prayer walks and held services in village churches and homes to encourage local believers. We celebrate that God sent Kim and Jean Peterson and Susan and Jesse Cole to Chile, where they played music and shared the gospel with audiences as intimate as 20 and as large as 200, helping long-term missionaries there. We celebrate that God led Hal Hansen and 5 other Sunrisers to Uganda to instill wells and to help with building projects and provide basic medical care and to support Bible conferences. We're grateful for the impact on pastors and local leaders, but also for the impact in terms of joy on our own team who freely gave of the teaching and the resources that we have in abundance to believers in Jesus Christ who have so little. And then just this last Friday, Mark Bennett returned from Hungary and Albania, where he taught community health evangelism, CHE. Mark said, by God's grace, after all he prepared and taught, the people he went to serve ended up teaching him even more. Can we praise God for what he's doing to the people of Sunrise? It only happens if we're unified. Nobody goes alone. We can't do it alone. Together we can do great things in the cause of Christ. Friends, in your bulletin, there is a short-term mission menu for 2016 and 2017. Would you take that out and would you wave it at me so I know you have it? I want to ask you to decide right now to keep this in your Bible, post it on your fridge, or put it in the place where you have your devotional life. Would you use this guide to pray for our courageous, faith-filled, short-term mission team leaders? It is no small undertaking to lead a short-term mission team. I want to invite you to pray for them and or to join one of their teams. We are sending people, God willing, in the coming months to Jamaica, Peru. There are four different Asia Bible team options: Uganda, Ghana, Hong Kong, with our partners from Elk Grove, the sending place, Thailand, Ukraine, and Ecuador. Friends, I am so excited. Our mission is to sending and forming people to follow Jesus Christ. Every time we gather, we are being formed. Jesus is being formed in our lives because we all are sent. And today in particular, we celebrate one group of Sunrisers that recently returned from the Urbana Student Mission Conference. Take a look at the screens.
I once was dead in sin, alone and hopeless. A child of wrath I walked, condemned in darkness. But your mercy brought new life, and in your loving kindness raised me up with Christ and made me righteous. You have brought me back with the riches of your amazing grace and relentless love. I'm made alive forever with you, life forever by your grace. I'm saved, by your grace. I'm saved. My sin is big.
Amen. Doesn't that look like fun? Brian and Christy Garner led that team, and I'm so grateful that you did. You guys demonstrated such faith and love, just ministering to the team the whole way through. Tell us a little bit like what it was like to actually get to lead that team.
It was awesome, and really, you just get to experience the full gamut of all of your emotions. Excitement, stress, fulfillment. Seeing faith in action. It's so many words. It's just everything there. As a leader, though, one of the things that was really special for us is that we feel like we have 10 new family members.
Yeah.
All the young adults that went with us, we just absolutely got to love them. I would encourage everybody here, either be a leader or go on a short-term missions. It will really change your life.
Awesome. When was the first time that you noticed God kind of prompting in you this mission thinking?
So Brian really kind of got that nudge in college. He did quite a few summer-long missions trips. And I got that nudge back in high school doing many Mexicali trips. And then the town that I lived in, we had a great opportunity for outreach. So that's kind of when I got the bug. And then when we got married, we knew that missions were going to be the way we lived our life. It was just going to be a lifestyle for us. But we felt probably fairly soon after we were married, that God was nudging us into the mission field.
Awesome. Now, you have a unique story because your very family has been kind of the context for some of your response to God's call into mission service. So tell us a little bit about that.
Yes. So we felt God's calling into long-term missions, like I said, fairly soon after we were married. And then he just shut that door and slammed it shut tight. And we were like, okay, Lord, what are we supposed to do now? And within a matter of just weeks, he just showed us very clearly that our mission field was going to be right here in our own backyard. And so he made it very clear that we were supposed to become foster parents and adopt a sibling set of four. So we went from 3 to 7 instantaneously.
Can we let that sink in for just a moment? 3.
I had 5 in 5 car seats and 3 in diapers.
Wow.
So, yeah.
Can I just say Mother's Day is right around the corner? And I just hope that, you know, wow.
But it truly was a mission field because those kiddos had come from a very, very neglected situation. They were severely abused. And so it was just a matter of our outpouring into their lives for the next few years to help them heal and obviously to give them a desire for the Lord.
Wow. I just want to affirm you guys for reaching out and caring for people that way with Christ's love. Now, as we've been talking over these last months, it's obvious that God is doing something new in your life. So tell us about that.
So fast forward about 13, 14 years to today. And we're feeling that nudge again from the Lord that it's time to say, okay, what's the next missions aspect in your life going to look like? So we took a deep look, and we've been working with Pastor Derek and a lot of the staff here. Right now, we're currently in the process of applying with a sending agency called World Venture. We're looking at going into full-time missions, possibly into Eastern Europe through different ministries such as missions mobilization or maybe church planting. We just really have a very open heart as to where the Lord is leading us right now and to what God wants to do in our lives. We had no idea we're going to be adopting a bunch of children, and it ended up being an amazing blessing for us. And we're looking and we're feeling that nudge again. Time to go into mission, change our lives for some different missions work now.
Amen. Praise God. We're going to pray. Would you join me by standing, please? We're going to pray for Brian and Christy. And sometimes we pray for couples and we commission them because they're all ready to go and they're leaving in, you know, a couple of weeks. That's not where we're at. We are praying for discernment. We're praying for wisdom, praying for focus in terms of what that ministry would look like. And that is a very valid and legitimate prayer. In fact, what I want to ask, if you are able, would you walk forward? Would you come forward just up to the platform here? We want to identify as much as we can that we are one, that we're one body. And just as we talked about, we're all different, we're diverse, we're all coming from different places. Come on up, just come right up here. And we want to identify with you guys and just put our faith together to call on God for his blessing, for guidance, and to say, we're unified, trusting God together for your future and for your ministry. So let's pray. Heavenly Father, we love you. We thank you for your good, good work. Lord, we thank you for each one of those younger folks that got to be a part of that Urbana experience, and we pray you'd continue to provide faith and direction for their lives. Lord, we just want to bless Brian and Christy. We want to applaud them, many of us as parents, just knowing what, or having some idea what it would take to do foster children and to adopt, and some of the challenges. Lord, we just pray for your rich blessing on them, that you would give them love beyond their own to give away to even children in their own home and household. And God, we pray that you would begin answering those questions in your own way and time about an actual ministry site, about ministry partners, about a ministry assignment. We pray for leaders with World Venture, this great mission agency, Lord, that you would just continue to strengthen and build that relationship. Lord, we pray for the different short-term mission team leaders on our menu, individuals just working jobs, just every walk of life who said, hey, I think you're calling me to lead a team. And they're working late in the night, and they're working on evenings, and they're getting their team together, and they're doing training, and they're raising funds, and they're praying, and they're working it out. God, help them with that burden. Help us to come alongside them in small and big ways to lighten their load. And Lord, we pray that as never before, in a very practical, demonstrable way, you'd make us one, because you're already one, and that the world would know that you've come because they've seen you in us. We ask this in Jesus' name. And all God's people said, amen. Amen. God loves you. Have a great week. Take care.